Hey everyone, and welcome back to another podcast from the Highbury Squad. Wow, what a time it's been since we've last recorded. So tonight, unfortunately, our podcast brother, Mr. Kevin Super Campbell, can't be with us, but I have my lovely pod sister from La La Land. Hi, Soph.
Buongiorno. How are you, my love?
Next question.
Okay, let's break it up from a life point of view, how are you? And then from a football point of view, how are you?
Life point of view, there's been so much illness with me and my son in the last 2 weeks and stresses of life. But you know what? There are worse things in the world. Football has been bipolar. That's all I can say. I like the weather in London at the moment. It is mental. So, but we've got a really, really special guest joining us who has been on before. So, welcome back, Dale, from Stretty News.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm also doing something again.
One of our favourites.
You're very brave to come on at the moment, considering what is going on with your club.
Well, considering Amanda's on this podcast, let's just say
United aren't one of my favourite teams, but hey-ho, let's have some fun if we can. So, Dale, we're just going to start with a couple of matches that we've just played. I don't know. We're going to sum it up quickly because obviously a lot has been discussed. Aston Villa at home, Soph. I went to this with absolute complete optimism. There wasn't any part of me that was thinking, uh-oh. I think I even said we'd win 2-1. I can't remember what I said, to be honest. It's been one of those weeks. But me, you and Kev all went for a win, didn't we?
Yes, and you and I went for a 2-1, and I think KC went for a 3-1, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And then I just don't know what goes on in the minds of our defenders. I use the word defenders loosely, okay? But I just don't know what goes on in their minds. But it was awesome, excuse me, in the second half. The atmosphere was rocking and we came back and won it. So I honestly sat there and I took my other half with me, and I feel in a really weird place at the moment with Arsenal. On the one hand, you look at our front three and you just go, awesome. I looked at my other half and I said, honestly, I said this. I went, do you know what? Aubameyang hasn't even done anything. He's going to come up and score. That's what he's going to do. I haven't seen him half the game, and yet he does that and saves us with a superb free kick. And then you've got Guendouzi in the second half, who was like the Don, wasn't he? Again, just awesome. Winning us the penalty, which definitely was a penalty. We didn't need VAR for that. And then we go 3-2 up. Now, I didn't know this until I watched Match of the Day that night, that Socratis handballed it in the area. Mm-hmm. And the ref didn't give anything. And I was gobsmacked because I didn't know until I got home. And my mate said to me, have you seen what Socratis did? And I went, oh, no, what's he done now? I thought it was something off the pitch. And the ball hits him. I don't know what the ref's doing. If this was us, I'd be going mental. Because in the rules, that's a penalty. He's not even gone to VAR. So we were lucky in the end. Really, really lucky. What do you think about that game?
So I think it's one of our poorest first halves or halves of football I've seen in a number of years. It took me back to some of the worst Wenger times. And in that first half, I would think that Dale and his Manchester United fellow fans would think, wow, we could take this Arsenal team as bad as we are. Because the contrasting stories, the similarities, the parallels right now between Arsenal and Manchester United are kind of insane. I would say the only difference is that we're much better up front than they are. They have deficiencies at the back as well. Aston Villa, we made them look like a mini, I would say Valencia, not Barcelona. We made them look fluid. They had ingenuity. They had this panache about them in that first half, and we were like schoolboys. It was pathetic. But then you have to say in the second half, despite the challenges that we faced as a team. And Unai, I don't think, picked the best team to start off with. The game changed when Willock came on and when Torreira came on, and they complemented Guendouzi in midfield. And then Aubameyang even grew much more into the game and believed that he would get a chance because of the way we were able to now maybe control the midfield. And I think in the end, we did get lucky, but we did fight back. When I hear people like, when I hear Unai Emery say that Callum Chambers didn't listen to him because he told him to pass the ball to Ceballos, but he kept bombing it, those are the things that concern me and worry me. You know, putting out your captaincy to a vote worries me. Everyone has said, well, Pep Guardiola did that. Well, maybe we're not in that league right now to do that. Maybe he shafted the squad and made it on them as opposed to on him to pick Xhaka. How do Man United feel? I'd love to know how Dale feels about knowing that Xhaka's going to start on Monday.
That's not necessarily true, but let me go back to something. Pep did it in the pre-season. That is the difference. It's not about class of clubs. We've done it in the end of September. It seems mental to me. Don't you think?
I just feel that, you know, it's a responsibility the manager should take. Yes, put it out to a vote, because that's what they do in the NFL. The players vote for the captain. But Vermaelen and Mertesacker were captains, and they didn't play a lot at a time when they were captains too. So, but with our game and how we're going, and then going into the Forest Carabao Cup game, which was amazing, and the youth was amazing, and I feel like our youth is more talented than Man United. I mean, I would love to know from an outsider point of view, Amanda, kind of what the perspective is on those two games, because they were so contrasting with different players, Dale.
Yeah, you mentioned Xhaka there. Not even as just a Manchester United fan, but as a Republic of Ireland fan, we played Xhaka recently, and he's a player that you see as a bit of a liability. You know, he has qualities, but you see yourself, you can get into his head a bit, and he can annoy him. He's a walking yellow card, and if we can get Arsenal down to 10 men, will then advantage us, and that's the one thing I think about when I think of Xhaka. Now, look, I'm sure he has his qualities too, but he is one of those players you're waiting to see get sent off.
I think, I think, you know what, if I were you, Dale, I'd want him to play on Monday. None of us do. And that is a shame, because he is now our new captain. So I sort of get that. Yeah,
but the thing is about Xhaka, though, there's a good player in there.
There is, definitely.
It's his brain.
And also he's not a DM. So there's a whole issue with this and where he's playing and what he's doing. I actually think he's a very good player, just not in that position. But we're going to quickly move on, and then we're going to come to all the United Arsenal stuff, to a completely different team and a completely different outlook and a completely different competition. We played Nottingham Forest in the, as I call it, the Haribo Cup, which is the Carabao Cup, Tuesday night. And wow. I couldn't go. I've only seen the highlights. But what I've heard from people that did go was unbelievable football from our academy boys. And this gives me hope for the future. We won 5-0, fully deserved. Martinelli looks outstanding. Having holding back, seeing Bellerin on the pitch, Tierney in his debut, and Willock and Nelson scoring, has just sort of lit my fire again. Do you know what I mean, Soph?
I loved it. And even though it was Nottingham Forest, I don't want to get too excited, but you can only play who's ahead of you. And we've seen in the past, and I mentioned this on TalkSport the other day when I said that when the youth played under Wenger in these cups, there was a huge amount of pressure on Wenger, not necessarily the youth and the team, but they took on that pressure, I think, on their shoulders. And we had found ourselves losing to Nottingham Forest, I think was it last season in the Carabao Cup. But this is a very exciting crop of young players. And I don't, Dale will probably be like, are you crazy? I'm not comparing it to the 92 Manchester United youth, but my goodness, there's a lot of talent in various positions on the pitch. And this is that moment where you need a really good figurehead who's coach and manager of this team, Amanda, to massage this going forward, because to be quite honest with you, I really would love Emery to take risks against Manchester United at Old Trafford. They're a wounded animal right now. Beware the wounded animal, because we've seen this so many times before with United. Last time we beat them in the league there, I think, was in 2006. It's been a very long time and things are very different. But this is the biggest thing I think that Arsenal fans have in the back of their mind is, will it Guendouzi, Torreira together, even Nelson, Saka coming on was amazing. You had Holding who showed leadership and Bellerin coming on, and we've all been praying that they're going to be the same players when they come back. So you have to say that for us, as the season goes on, when there's wear and tear, there's optimism. But I also think that at some point you've got to throw these young players into those big games and into those big moments to see how they handle it. And if there's a team to do it against, and at a time where we haven't won against the top six, I should know the answer to this, but it's been a really long time. Now's the time against this United team. They're a little bit broken. And I would say if we do beat them, does the pressure mount on United to get rid of Solskjaer? I don't know if Dale, I don't even know if United would do that at this point.
Well, no, I'm just going to end it there a second. And then, Dale, I'm going to come to you and ask you a question that's going to lead on from this. But, you know, I agree with what Sophie said. You are there for the taking on Monday night. You were there last year, actually, and we didn't do very well. But I feel that if Emery does take risks, like Sophie's saying, and if he does go for it, I think we could take you. I really, really do. So let's just talk to you about what's going on at your club at the moment. Do you think Solskjaer will go on Monday? Not Monday, but do you think that the pressure will mount if we come to you? You know, we haven't won at you in the league since, I think, like 2006. And the last time I was there, I think, was a draw, but when Danny Welbeck scored the cup, I was there as well. It's a long time for us. You seem to be a bogey side for us at Old Trafford. But what I've seen of your performances, and yes, Sophie and I are not United fans, so we're going to let you chat now with us and tell us what's going on at your club.
To be honest with you, I wasn't expecting a steady season by any means. I wasn't expecting us to come to get four. I knew there was going to be some trips along the way, but I haven't expected it to be this bad. The football is getting worse. It seems like the team itself, they're not used to playing together. I was watching in the League Cup against Rochdale the other night, 5-yard passes going astray. That's just poor, and that goes deeper in the manager. But the manager has a lot to answer for as well. You remember when he came in last season, and I spoke to you briefly after that, before he got the job permanently, and I wanted him to get the job because the football was exciting. He was on the front foot. United attacked and threatened, and that's gone. And that's not gone just because Lukaku's left or because we haven't got the amazing Alexis Sanchez. That's just disappeared overnight, basically. And I'm wondering, is that down to the manager's coaching? Are the players over that honeymoon period? I don't know, but something drastic has to happen. A lot of the dead wood needs to be pushed out. It hasn't all went over the summer. Obviously, we got rid of Chris Smalling on loan, but there's still a number of players there that aren't the future Manchester United, but they've still been given new contracts, like Phil Jones. And you just wonder at times, the manager wants to do one thing, but the club is doing different, because the club has been run purely with the view of milking the commercial cash cow. Solskjaer obviously wants the results on the pitch. He seems to be pissing in the wind, really. The football is getting worse. There's rumours of players showing unrest and unhappiness with the manager, but we've heard all this before. I think Roy Keane said it when Solskjaer got the job, that these players will turn on him too. They did it to Mourinho and they'll do it to Solskjaer, and I wouldn't be really surprised, because none of them want to take responsibility. You had Nemanja Matic coming out, the so-called senior player in the squad, and saying that the manager should be winning the league and that he should be taking responsibility. He wouldn't have done that if Mourinho was in charge. You know, he's coming out a lot with this kind of ego, this typical kind of thing you see from Mourinho's people. You know, there's loads of people you consider Mourinho people who stand by everything he says, and he's this great dictator. Now, I love Mourinho, but those people are just a bad influence, and I want him out of the club quickly. Solskjaer, he's not going to walk.
it might come to the stage where he might be pushed, but I hope that's not the case, because we're after sitting down with a manager, a number of managers, and this one, he clearly has a view in bringing through young players, hungry players want to play for Manchester United, and that's not going to happen overnight. It's just not. That's going to take 2 to 3 years to embed that belief in a whole dressing room, because those bad eggs from last season, some of them are still there. And one of them arguably is the most expensive, arguably our best player in Paul Pogba. He should be a Solskjaer boy, because Solskjaer came through with him through the academy. And I don't see that when he played. He's not grabbing games by the scruff of the neck. Should be a leader. He's not a leader. And to be honest, I'm coming to the stage now. If we get a big offer from the summer, get him out and get a player that wants to be there. And there's too many prima donnas there that are on high wages. And look, we can sit back and blame the manager, but how many managers have we blamed the same bunch of players? You know, it's getting to the stage where these players are just not good enough. And another thing as well, you mentioned about young players coming through at Arsenal. It's really exciting. It's really dangerous nowadays with social media. These players get a few appearances. They do well, a few good passes or whatever. This excitement builds. It's going over the top nowadays, because the second someone has a good performance, you're talking about a fee of worth 50 million, or it's crazy talk straight away. And then when they have a few bad games, the expectations are so high, these youngs are being crushed. They're being crushed. I've seen United at the moment with Tahith Chong. So much ability. Now, he might be a player that might need to go out on loan for a while and gain that experience. But he's had a few games in the first team now. People on Twitter are absolutely crushing this youngster. It's not the environment at the moment. I really be bringing through too many young players, because there's not those big figureheads aren't there. There's no Roy Keane. There's no Gary Neville, Patrice Evra to show these young players how to behave. Instead, you got Nemanja Matic coming out after games and slagging off the manager.
Wow. There's so many parallels, I think, Dale, to the story of Manchester United and Arsenal. We're the two teams that really led the way in the Premier League, and obviously Manchester United far more dominant than us, but we definitely had our time and we had our period. And when you look at the characters that both teams used to have, you and I and Amanda on last season's podcast too have talked about those characters. We just celebrated the anniversary of the Keown Van Nistelrooy incident. And I think that's where Arsenal fans are starting maybe to turn a little bit back to the positive side, because they're seeing character in Aubameyang, they're seeing character in Lacazette, they're seeing character in Torreira, Guendouzi, a 20-year-old putting a team on his shoulders and singularly being the reason for a fight back and a comeback against a newly promoted team. And I think with Manchester United, when you think about how hard it is, especially for some young millennial fans, they've never known Manchester United to be failures. They've never known Manchester United to be the struggling team. And a little bit I liken the Pogba-Xhaka situation similarly. Pogba, of course, a much bigger talent than Xhaka, but both the target men for any mistake that happens with our clubs. And granted, Xhaka has given the ball away that's led to the most goals in the Premier League since 2016. I get that. But the comparisons to our teams and how we've allowed, I would say, Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea, these new dominant forces to come into play and to play catch up the way we are. But yet, even as much as you've struggled and we've struggled, when we play against you, like Amanda said, there is something. Amanda wrote it on Twitter the other day. She said it would be typical for Man United to play like Barcelona against us on Monday night. What is it and why is it you can find that X factor against us in those struggling moments? What is it about Arsenal? Is it the modern day Arsenal? The weakness, the mental impotence that we've shown? Because I think most Arsenal fans are kind of half dreading this game on Monday night.
No, it is weakness. We always believe we could bully, especially this modern Arsenal. But I'll be honest with you now, with this United team, I see us being very similar to other teams come and bully us. We've no backbone whatsoever. Right? I don't believe we're going to do that to you again. I think it's going to be such a... It's a possible game to call. You look at Arsenal going forward, obviously much better than United. Midfield, we're awful. We have some decent individual players, but we've no unit whatsoever. So you're going to win that battle, I think. But defensively, I watched Arsenal in the Europa League a few weeks ago, and you won the particular game, and you didn't concede in this moment to play before the second half, before half time. And I watched it, and I've seen so many mistakes defensively. I thought the defence was absolutely appalling. And I think maybe that's the only chance we have. Although we've been so poor going forward, Arsenal aren't necessarily going to sit back against United, I don't believe. They're going to go for it. Emery will try and win the game, because everyone will at Old Trafford at the moment. But our only chance is just, if we're that bad defensively, we might be able to scrape a draw from that. But other than that, we've no unit in the team. You know, you talk about how we used to bully Arsenal. Yeah, that's because there was some sort of chemistry about the team. There's none of that anymore. Like, whatever we had that good stage of Solskjaer last season, completely forget about that. It's a total different team. It's the way they set up. It's not even free-flowing attacking football anymore. They get into the final third, the players turn around not knowing what to do with it. There's no idea. When even Martial was playing when he was fit and he was scoring a few goals, you could see by him, when balls were floating into the box, clear headers, which he could have gotten the end of, he's not that type of centre-forward. So why are you playing that way? He's a centre-forward, he's the ball at his feet. And you probably said the same about Rashford. He's more of a wide player. You know, so we're not going to bully. There's no way this team is capable of bullying. You're telling me Paul Pogba and Fred, who got ran over by Rochdale during the week, are going to bully Arsenal midfield? No, it's not the mentality.
Yeah, we're not so worried about the midfield. Me and Sophie and about 10 billion gooners are more worried about the defence, Dale. Depending on who he plays. If he plays who he played at Aston Villa, well... Let's look at who he could, real quick, Amanda.
He could play, and maybe Dale will let us know. Is he going to play? Martial's still not fit, right? You've got Greenwood, Lingard, James maybe. Pogba, is he fit? McTominay, is that going to be the threat for us?
McTominay, I'm a fan of McTominay, but he tries hard. But it's okay having him doing his best and him performing, but he's on his own in midfield three. You Pogba checking his hair, okay, or his boots clean. You Fred, who just constantly gets the ball, runs into traffic the whole time. It's like a sitcom. From what Manchester United used to be, yeah, to what they are now, it's a complete circus. It's like a three clowns midfield. I'm not calling McTominay a clown, but that's a unit. It's just a joke. Up front, I'm hoping to see Greenwood lead the attack. James, who's been brilliant. And forget about Lingard. He's getting game time, but he hasn't produced a goal or assist in 8 months. He really needs to be taken out of the team and given a breather for a while. I'd be starting Angel Gomez, the young lad. He's eligible to play for England. He's a cousin of Nani's, who obviously used to play for United. But he played against Aston in the Europa League. And from all the players that played that role in the whole this season, he was the only one that I could talk highly of in that performance. But look, Solskjaer speaks about playing the youth the whole time. I don't know why he's not getting games.
So my question to you is, are you fearful of us turning up with Aubameyang, Pepe, just them two alone, Willock? I mean, you know, we've got fast firepower coming to Old Trafford. The midfield is not so much my concern if he doesn't play Xhaka. I'd like to see Ceballos play. But our defence, do you think you've got a chance on Monday?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to write this off completely, but I'm just saying that the attitude I had before these games a year ago, as early as a year ago, that's not the case anymore. I don't believe we're going to bully Arsenal. It's the first time in years that I haven't felt that. And I think that's really telling. We always fancy ourselves against Arsenal, always. Obviously, about the attacking players you have, we are better defensively this season. I absolutely love Wan-Bissaka. He's going to be an incredible footballer as he grows. Mm-hmm. He's totally. I've never seen a fullback like him. He's strange to watch. Maguire he's not setting the world alight just yet, but he does have a leader's presence about him. And I think when you're trying to have a centre back partnership work, it's wrong to expect it to click this soon. There's definitely been more promising signs defensively from United this season than I've seen last year. It's just a matter of hopefully De Gea doesn't commit any more blunders. Hopefully the new contract has him focused on United again. And then obviously the left back role, that's a weakness for United. Even if Luke Shaw is fit, I've never been the biggest Luke Shaw fan. Obviously he hasn't had it easy after his bad injury, but when you're watching United defend now and you see the quality on the right hand side with Wan-Bissaka, then you kind of see what level Shaw should be at, and it's just it's not level. So I think, look, both teams are there for the taking Monday night. You're probably going to favour an Arsenal win, though.
Well, we would do if we had a good record at your place, but we don't. I know it is there for the taking for us more than you. We're a little bit bipolar at the moment. You know, sometimes we're just steaming matches and sometimes we're not. It depends what formation and tactics. See, we have an issue with Emery with playing very defensively and formations that don't work. But it does seem to change at second half and we do seem to, you know, get it together. I'm just wondering if any of our academy players will go, because some of the performances from Saka recently have been outstanding, and he's got no fear as well. I don't think they'll fear going to Old Trafford, especially at the moment. So what do you think? Do you think he'll take any of the players that played against Forest? Do you think Ozil will be in the lineup?
No, I do not think Ozil will play. I think he's going to start Saka on the left. I think that he will play Pepe
on the right.
Yeah, Pepe, Aubameyang down the middle, Saka on the left, Guendouzi and Torreira ahead of Xhaka, and then Kolasinac. I would start Tierney personally. I would throw Tierney into this match. I think it's the kind of match he can jump into and become an instant hero. But do I think he's going to start him? No. I think maybe he'll put Tierney holding Bellerin on the bench. He's going to play it safe. And then in the second half, if we need not a miracle, but to bounce back, I think we'll see Holding and Tierney make an appearance. But if I were him, I would play Tierney, Luiz, Holding and Chambers on the right. David Luiz. What do you mean? David Luiz?
Yeah.
David Luiz? What are you correcting me for?
I don't want him near my team at Old Trafford, thank you.
He's better off than Socrates.
Please start Luiz.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone I know who does not support Arsenal is laughing at us playing David Luiz. And there have been times, Dale, to be honest, he's played okay. But he is an accident waiting to happen. If anyone is going to give a penalty away at Old Trafford, he did it at Anfield, he'll do it at Old Trafford. He worries me. I don't know what Chambers has to do to get a game. I don't want David Luiz and I don't want Socrates.
No, but Chambers has to start at right back because Maitland-Niles is injured.
Bellerin's
not ready. He's not ready to come into a game like this. I would have him on the bench. I'd bring him on. I wouldn't start him.
How long did he play on Tuesday? Do you know?
He came on with 20 minutes to go.
So we could have this again.
He created an assist when he came on, I think, the other night.
Bellerin is superb, but he's not match fit. He's been out a long, long time. And what Sophie's saying is he's not ready. We can't ruin him because I tell you something, he is so important to us. I think people are starting to realise how important
Bellerin is. Okay, so you guys are Unai Emery. Who are you dropping to start Holding? Luiz or Socrates?
Luiz.
Because he's given away the two penalties.
Yeah, seriously. But so Socrates, to be honest, they're both the Chuckle Brothers.
Would you start Mustafi with Holding?
Yeah,
would you drop Luiz and Socrates? Because the last two times Mustafi's played you guys, Dale, this might be an unbelievable stat even for an opposing fan to believe, but we've had two clean sheets. Not two clean sheets. We've had two clean sheets.
No, to be honest, when Arsenal signed David Luiz in the summer, I was thinking at the time, with all the money spent on Pepe, I was like, why aren't they signing a centre-back? At the time, there probably wasn't that many options around in the transfer window. You're probably better off having him than being without him. You know, he's got a lot of experience in Premier League. He's played across Europe. And when you mentioned those centre-backs to partner Holding, I do think he's probably the best of the lot. That might be controversial.
I think we'd all agree on that, right, Amanda? That right now Holding is...
Oh, God. I'm better than Socrates and Luiz. Don't go that far.
But here's the scoop, though. So as bad as we are in defence, United aren't any better. I mean, losing to Crystal Palace at Old Trafford after like 500 million dinosaur years. I mean, I feel like we both had embarrassing moments and embarrassing results. And some players that, you know, as bad as Sócrates and Luiz have been in defense, Rashford has been as bad up front, hasn't he? I mean, he's almost regressed over the last few months under Solskjaer. You know, a little bit greedy on the ball, doesn't really know when to pass it. Like, when I think about him, I maybe a season ago would be more worried about him, but now not really. And I'm thinking, okay, where's the danger coming from? I think I'd be more worried if you played one matter, just because the way he can maybe open up and expose our defense. But when I think about players that worry me, I'm not sure they're either fit or they're in form.
Yeah, no, the thing about Rashford is obviously when Solskjaer came in, he was firing all cylinders and pushed the cack about the team altogether. But definitely come to realisation now, he's not a number nine. And for the sake of his career too, I think he needs to start thinking about club and country. He's not going to be a centre forward for England. Harry Kane has that taken up. It's getting to the stage now, if he doesn't cement the spot out wide, Jadon Sancho's coming through. He's not going to take the spot off Sterling. So he needs to sit down and think about his career now. I think he's much better coming from the left. United haven't got a centre forward. With everyone fit, I'm not sure yet, is Martial that centre forward? He's not great in the ball coming in from the air. United need a lethal goal scorer, and we haven't got one. As for our opening Arsenal up, I think Angel Gomez really deserves a run on Monday night. Solskjaer's tested Lingard, Mata. He's given time to Andres Pereira, who, if he starts, I'll be watching from behind the sofa. Angel Gomez has to start for me. He's really creative, has legs unlike Mata. That brain to open up a defence. And with Mason Greenwood, he's such a lethal finisher. For his age, there's been comparisons to Van Persie, and I can really see it. Van Persie had this instinct, and you obviously seen it too. I've never seen from possibly more than one United striker. Van Nistelrooy is another one. This instinct that no matter what way the ball is delivered inside the box, he can finish it. Doesn't have to put in a play for him. It's just that instinct. And that's something you can see in Mason Greenwood. He can take free kicks with either foot, penalties with either foot. He's such a great talent. But as Solskjaer said today about starting against Arsenal, we need to be careful in managing him, which we do. But the fear now is because we didn't sign a striker in the summer with Rashford possibly out and Martial out, he's no other choice but to play him. I think with a youngster and a club like Manchester United, that's a sorry situation. That's a desperate situation that you have to throw a 17-year-old into a massive, massive game. The pressure, like, he's able to deal with the pressure. I think he's shown that even with his penalty during the week, he's calm. He's something else, but I'm always wary of these youngsters and giving them too much time, potentially ruining them. And as you see other players that come through so early, you can burn them out early as well.
Right, so I'm just going to go back to something that we were just talking about. So our team on Monday, Soph, I think Leno, Chambers, Holding, Sócrates. Kolasinac I have an issue with. I think his all-round play is great. He can't cross the ball to save his life. He can't find a man. I like him in defence and I like him where he plays, but he just can't cross the ball, can he?
No, and I'm not sure. Look, Ozil and Kolasinac went through a very traumatic life experience. Let's not underestimate what that does to the human psyche, right? You're confronted with a lot of violence and that's very difficult to overcome. Now, with that said, was Ozil in form prior to that incident? Probably not. Was he being given the chances? Absolutely not. Kolasinac, I think we saw the best of him in that 4-2 win against Tottenham at the Emirates last season. He was a beast. He was a leader. You know, his celebration with the flag, the corner flag went viral. Epic. I would say he's been better going forward than he has been in defence. I would start Tierney. I think Tierney's ready for this game. I think Holding is probably ready for this game, but I would definitely start Tierney. I'd give him a shot. If you have to sub him with 20 minutes to go and bring Kolasinac on, hopefully to just hold the game, which we're inept at doing on many occasions. I would do that. I don't think Kolasinac for me, as people give a harder time to Mustafi and Xhaka, for me, Kolasinac gives the ball away as cheaply as they do. Maybe it doesn't result in major glaring, you know, game-changing results and incidences, but he's been very poor so far this season.
Okay, so I agree with you on the front three. Pepe, Aubameyang, Saka, I'd love to see that. Now we come to the midfield, yeah? Three, and I've got four down here. So I'm just going to list them. Soph, Guendouzi.
That's not going to work out. You with your maths.
I know.
Right,
you've got all to right, choose, darling. Guendouzi, Torreira, Ozil, Willock.
So what for? So wait, you're going to put four?
And Xhaka.
Well, okay, so you're saying who would we play from there? I would play Guendouzi, Torreira, and Willock. Now, I don't buy into this Xhaka captain naming. I know for you guys, Dale, Ashley Young is your captain. I don't know who your default captain is when he doesn't play. Is it Pogba? I'm not sure. This whole captain lark, I think Unai Emery a bit cheaply put it on the players when really he knew Xhaka was his choice. So I don't like that lack of accountability on Emery's part. I feel like he kind of put the onus on the players choosing Xhaka, whereas really Xhaka was his guy. I think that was getting the fans to buy into the fact that the players buy into Xhaka. So I'm not particularly happy about that. But with that said, in this particular game, he's not going to do it. He will start Guendouzi, Torreira and Xhaka, whereas I would start Guendouzi, Torreira and Willock. I would have Ozil on the bench.
So Ozil doesn't make it for you, no?
No, not at all.
I think we need him. I think we need that creativity in front of the three.
I think it's about time he came off the bench and did something significant in a big game, became a game changer and made Dale and the Man United fans cry just a little bit, Dale, because you've made us cry a lot in the past.
But he's not picking him anyway to come off the bench. So, you know,
exactly. But it would be great for him to have a moment in a big game, wouldn't it? I mean, it's okay doing it against Ludogorets, you know, but doing it against Manchester United at Old Trafford, that's why he's paid $350,000 a week. Right
I'd
now,
start him. I'd start him. I'd start Ozil.
Who are you sacrificing?
That's the problem.
Well,
it depends what formation he goes for, doesn't
he? He's not built for this game. He would be a liability in this game. He's the kind of player in this game that should come on, and maybe with 20 minutes to go, Man United fans will think, "How threatened?" Okay, ask Dale. How threatened would Man United fans feel with Ozil starting or on the bench? There's a question.
Don't feel threatened at all. I was about to interrupt you and say I'd feel a lot more threatened if he still had Aaron Ramsey.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, we're not going there.
We're talking about a top player here, Mesut Ozil, who years ago clubs were chasing. I don't know what it is. Obviously, he hasn't lost his ability overnight, right, like that, and he's still a quality player. But when I watch him at Arsenal, just doesn't seem anyway interested.
And
it's annoying to see a player. We had the same issue with Paul Pogba. We know he's tons of ability. Doesn't show the demeanour you want from your player. The work hard ethic isn't there. And it's hard to suck that up and watch it every week, to be honest with you. And I know Amanda, you're probably thinking you haven't seen much of Ozil in a while. You're wondering, can he get that spark back again? But just think of the amount of times you watched him play and he just wasn't showing anything or wasn't delivering. And there was a lot of games I watched, the Arsenal watching Ozil, and then, to be honest, he offered nothing.
Okay, well, it's interesting, isn't it? I think the social media world is split on Ozil. I think it's split on Xhaka. I think one thing that we need to say about Xhaka, he is our captain and we need to support him. I've always had this thing, whoever plays for Arsenal and puts that shirt on, whether I can't stand him or not, we all support. I don't think booing a player, which I absolutely abhor. I hated what happened to Xhaka the other day when he was taken off and half the ground, you know, were pleased about it. I hate that. Just because certain members of certain fans don't rate him, you know, he is an Arsenal player. Unfortunately, he does cause some issues and sometimes slows the game up and we don't want him on the pitch, but you don't treat him like that. Guendouzi, as much as everyone's got rose-tinted glasses on here, there are mistakes coming from him as well. As much as he drives us forward, and I really think, Dale, that you need to watch him on Monday night because if anyone's going to create, if Ozil's not on the pitch, it's going to be him. It certainly ain't going to be Xhaka. I'd play Torreira, but yeah, I am stuck. I do actually think Willock deserves it. I really rate him. I know you want to see more from Pepe, don't you, Soph?
Yeah, because I don't want him to... By the way, it's Xhaka's birthday today, so can we all just wish the lad a happy birthday? I mean, it's been a bit of a rough ride. And I met him here in LA, and I have to say, of all the Arsenal players, and I think I wrote at the time, and I said, I can see why Arsenal Football Club see this guy as someone they can put in front of people and be a leader. Now, after saying we were scared to come out and play against... Who was it? I can't remember. Which team was it when he came out afterwards and said... We were scared, Watford, which was absolutely pathetic. And do you really want that to be your captain? However, when I saw like the likes of Mustafi and Ozil and Kolasinac, and then as much as I love Lacazette and Aubameyang, I think they're leaders in a game. I'm not sure if they're leaders all the way around. And I just tweeted something this morning and I said, not all heroes need an armband. And it's down to every player on the pitch to be a leader. And Pepe... especially has to show something in this game. I know he's made a beautiful run against Virgil van Dijk. Well done. Whoop-de-woo. Round of applause for Pepe. You cost $72 million. I know he's got to ease in. Didn't happen automatically for Bergkamp or Henry and many other super talented players that have come to the league. But he's got to start showing something. And credit to Aubameyang for letting him get off the mini mark with the penalty. I think Arsenal fans want to see it in open play now.
Interesting. That was right in front of me. I was fuming that he did that, Aubameyang. I didn't know he did that. I thought Pepe hit the ball.
It's so a bit too nice, isn't it? It was so nice. Like,
no. We were desperate. We were, what were we, 2-1? I don't know. We were down at that point. We had to score. And I'm going to my other, what's he doing? Why isn't Aubameyang taking this? And I'm like, oh my God. But he scored. And yes, in the end, what a fantastic thing for Aubameyang to do, to give him some confidence. But I didn't agree with it. I'm sorry, I didn't. And you know me, I love things like that. But I just didn't. If we're 5-0 up, 4-0 up, even 3-0, do it. But we were losing and we desperately needed to score. Anyway.
Bit Man United, like, again. Look, it's amazing. Our stories are so similar. The Rashford, was it Pogba? Was it Rashford or Martial? I can't even remember. But similarly, again. Handing over penalties. Let your designated penalty taker take the goddamn penalty. Like, stop acting like so friendly, for crying out loud.
I sort of agree. No, but as I said, you're 4 or 5 nil up, so if you can do it, you know. But we were desperate. I was like head in hands thinking. And also I was thinking, if he did miss, what would that do to him? You know, and we'd lose that game. But anyway, moving on. As you know, Dale, Kev can't be with us, but he has sent in some questions. So... number one from Mr. Campbell. Dale, what do you think of selling Lukaku and not replacing him?
Selling him was the right decision because he didn't suit our side of play. But selling him without a replacement was an absolute joke and we're paying a heavy price for that now.
Okay. Number two. Do you think Man United can challenge for a title within 2 years? Sorry, I'm not laughing, but...
I'm trying not to laugh at that one. No, not happening. Apparently, there's some 3-year plan the owners are considering. Even that sounds a bit of an exaggeration. Look, they need to decide now if Solskjaer's the man. If he is the man, they need to stand by him for the next 2 years at least. With any hiccups along the way, it shouldn't matter. Let him have his plan. Let him make his own decisions. Get rid of the players he needs to get rid of. And when he has a target, the club need to back him by getting that target. I'm sick of this taking months for United to complete transfers. Harry Maguire was basically negotiated throughout the whole summer, listed what they wanted for the player, but United dragged their heels over, and that can't happen. He should have been with the club on pre-season tour and all this lack of preparation. So if the club can't prepare properly for a season, they're not going to win a title. And I can't see that happen in the next 2-3 years. No way.
Okay.
So how about this
Fair
one?
Fair enough.
Which Arsenal player do you think scares Manchester United fans the most?
I'd say
Laka won't be playing, by the way.
Aubameyang, I think. Aubameyang is one of those players. So quick. So you can't catch him. Once you lose him, he's gone. And even I love watching that last season towards the end, Lacazette and Aubameyang together. I think just two of those really complement each other really well. Thank God Lacazette won't be there. But yeah, I'm not too... Look, maybe this might be the stage for Pepe to shine. It certainly would be a great way to get his Arsenal career off to win a game against United. You know, like Arsenal fans would be delighted with that. But for me, Aubameyang, he's a bit frightening, all right?
Okay,
he's
so...
He's pretty good. He's pretty good, Amanda.
Talked about Solskjaer. Mm. So what do you think of Emery?
I was doing a piece actually not long ago, and he was talking about when he met Ferguson at a manager summit. All the top managers were at it, and Ferguson slagged him for basically setting for the Europa League for so many years, not wanting to drive on to the Champions League. So I think when I read that, I was like, what is winning mentality like? But you know what? I do like him. I know Arsenal, I see Arsenal fans kind of criticising the way he's quite defensive and stuff, but you also remember when Wenger was there, there was times where you kind of thought Arsenal should be more defensive because they weren't strong enough defensively. And he's trying to paper up those holes. Since he's come in, Arsenal haven't spent massive amounts of money. The first summer, they hardly spent anything, really. And I was kind of wondering, you just gave this man a job replacing Wenger, who's had a job for so long, to have his own print on that job. You need to back him financially. I don't know if the money was there or not, but for what backing he's had so far, he's not doing too poorly. You know, Arsenal are fourth now in the league. Should he be much higher than that with the players that he's had to bring in? I don't think so. I think he's doing a good job. He hasn't said anything to upset me yet either. We'll see Monday night.
Okay, so it's going to be interesting on Monday. We've had a couple of questions on the Highbury squad, a couple of which we've covered, but I'm just going to respond back to Nigel Hume at Nigel Hume. He's saying, what do you think of Xhaka as captain? Shouldn't even be in the side. I agree with both, if I'm honest. Don't think he should be captain. I don't think he should be in the side. What's your view, Soph?
Well, we've talked about Xhaka, and I think that sometimes if you're captain, it doesn't always mean you're going to play. What worries me is that Emery made the move to make the players pick the captains to justify him putting Xhaka in the squad, and that doesn't make me feel particularly comfortable. So do I think he should be starting against Manchester United? No. Do I think he should be captain? No. But who on our team deserves the captaincy? I say for now... He should have said everyone's responsible. If we have to name a captain because of Premier League laws, it's a different player every week. And until someone earns it, we move on. Because let's face it, no one's Fabregas, Vieira, Henry,
Adams.
Arteta.
Adams.
Yeah, Adams. Come on.
We haven't got one of those.
Right.
You never know. But so Claude from Claude at AFTV. Claude from Arsenal Fan TV, my little mate. He's asked, do you think Tierney should start on Monday? You've already answered that. You think yes. I'm in two minds. I think we should bring him on second half. You know, he's been injured. We don't know how severe it was. It wasn't obviously as severe as Bellerin and Holding, but he's been injured. And I think 90 minutes might be a little bit too much at Old Trafford. I think he'll deal with it if he does come on. Obviously, Celtic, Rangers and all that, he can deal with derbies and stuff like that. And this is big for us. As much as you're not a local derby to us, Dale, in our heads, it goes Tottenham, Chelsea, United probably. That's how we probably see it. But
I'd put
United
above Chelsea, 100%.
No, do you know what? There's a lot of Arsenal fans that hate Chelsea more than Tottenham, which does not resonate in my head. But I'm an older Arsenal fan, so younger Arsenal fans hate Chelsea as well. But
just on Kieran Tierney, before we go on, I spoke to Kieran a few times when he's at Celtic, actually. And really nice guy, but I was sickened when he went to Arsenal. Sickened, I remember.
Yeah, a lot of people say
yes.
That.
I sent him a quick message just before the transfer went through because obviously he was going on for some time. I was like, please don't join Arsenal, come to United. But he didn't respond to that one, and he signed a dot line at Arsenal, so I was a bit disappointed. He'd be a lot better option than Luke Shaw, but seriously, Kieran Tierney, what a boy you got there. Absolute bargain, and he's going to be a really, really important player for you going forward.
Do you know what's interesting? My Liverpool mates are saying the same thing, and they're saying he's very similar. He could end up like playing like Andy Robertson. We need that sort of superstar in defence. We just need it. We haven't had one for so long. I mean, him and Bellerin on each flank would be lovely. So Dale, it comes to the point where we're going to ask for your prediction. What do you think the score is going to be on Monday night?
1-1. And you know what? If 1-1, I know we're home to Arsenal at the moment. The way we're playing, struggling and relying on penalties against Rochdale, a 1-1 draw wouldn't be the worst result. But given the performance or results we've had so far this season, we really need to be winning. Anything but a win will be a bit of a blow to our chance of getting top four even this early. We're just slipping away. And I know yourselves and Chelsea haven't been all that consistent either. And that kind of gives me some bit of hope, hanging on by a thread. But if Arsenal beat us Monday night, that's gonna really rock our season. And there's not much confidence there at the moment, but that will just shoot anything. I think it's such an important game for United.
The thing is, though, Dale, I don't think it's gonna. It's the end of September, beginning of October. There's thousands and billions of points to play for. If you lose, I understand what you're saying, but it's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean you're not gonna finish top four, does it? But I was going to ask you about that, actually. I know, but it's not April, is it? It's not March, April time. It's
early, but watching you, the performance and results, I can't see where this run of wins going to come from.
Okay, but last year we won, we didn't lose for 20 games and we didn't end up in the top four. So I understand what you're saying, because it will keep knocking you. But honestly, Arsenal, Chelsea, United, no one is taking any of the spots, are they? None of us are really that good. But do you think that you'll finish top four?
No, not okay. anymore.
So who no. finishes in the top four for you?
Chelsea.
And?
Of course. Well, Jesus. I'm going to say Spurs.
What, Spurs?
They're having a nightmare at the moment. They don't even know what way they're going to go. There you go. You see, last season it was us, ye, and Chelsea. You're going to drag Spurs into that now, because they're all over the place at the moment.
Yeah.
So, you're right. It's so early, as you're saying there. It's impossible.
It's too early.
It's impossible to call. But I do think Chelsea will nick a Champions League spot again.
Okay. That's interesting. Soph, come on. It's prediction time.
Sure. You know, I think it's interesting with Man United right now, something Arsenal have been labelled guilty of over the last few seasons, and that's kind of concentrating more on money, monetization of the club versus what's going on the pitch. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this year may be one of United's most profitable years in the marketplace. And to kind of see them, I always think the Premier League's better when Man United and Arsenal are competing. And I think for the first time in a long time, we can take them. And like I've said on the Highbury Squad podcast the last couple of weeks, the only person that could cost us the game is Unai Emery. He's got the players, he's got the team. We've seen it. His defence is a little shoddy, but we saw a different team against Nottingham Forest that played with fearlessness and confidence. And I think I would play those players who give zero Fs and will play for the shirt as opposed to fearing making a mistake. And I just don't think he's going to do that. And because of that, I think it will be a 2-2 draw. I do think Pepe will score, and I think Aubameyang will score too. And Aubameyang has been named as captain number two. So I think it's a good default for Emery to have him to fall back on when he doesn't pick Xhaka. I'm not sure when that's going to be, but I do hope it is not going to be against Man United.
Okay, well, I'm going for United 1, Arsenal 2. I think we've got the power, the firepower up front. I think we'll go confident. I sort of agree with you, actually, Soph, and I haven't recently, but I sort of agree with you that Emery's the one that could lose it for us. I want him to go and take some risks. You know, Dale knows that, you know, we know our football, we know our stuff, and we're not just saying this, but I do feel United are so there for the taking. And I would be more worried if I was a United fan than an Arsenal fan. We've got nothing to lose. We've got a terrible record there. We've got terrible defence. But it depends who he plays. So I'm going Arsenal 1, Sorry, United 1, Arsenal 2. I'm going for a win.
I like that. I think Mason Greenwood could have a field day against our defence. I think we've got to be very careful. It's my biggest fear is the 17-year-old. Is he 17 or 18 now? Either way,
they've got to worry about Saka if he plays. You know, a same level, same age. You know, we have to wait and see if Greenwood and Saka are going to produce what they did, because they were both having really good games, weren't they? But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm gutted, Dale, that it's Monday night because I can't go. And I love going to Old Trafford. I love that, but I can't get to Manchester on a Monday. Will you be there or not?
No, I'd be working for it. But we just mentioned all the young players that are kind of coming into the team. Now, I'm just hoping, because we've mentioned the last podcast how we missed the days of certain personalities clashing in this encounter. But I'm hoping some of the youngsters that are playing, some of the new players from the academies, they clash. Hope there's a bit of story, a bit of background building between them when these games come around, because to be honest, this fixture's been lacking for so long.
Just one quickie. Can I squeeze in a quickie? I know we got to go. I know time's running out, but here's a quickie because I'm really curious. Would you want Pochettino as your manager if Solskjaer gets the sack?
What a question that is, Soph.
I like it. Je like a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And before you say anything else, right?
I knew she was going to let him speak.
No doubt. You're not allowed to speak. And so should. Why? When the man hasn't won one trophy.
Because Spurs are a joke.
Well, what's that got to do with Pochettino?
Yes, they are, Dale. Well, Radu, excuse me. Let's take a minute to give Dale a round of
applause. I mean, why would you want him then? Spurs are a joke because of him. So...
No,
I don't get this love for him. I think he's a brilliant salesman, but go on, Dale, go on.
I think he's an incredible manager. What he's done with Spurs is amazing. That's why they should buy him time during this rough patch, you know. The day he reached.
What's he done, Dale?
Let him have his say. Allow him to have his say, and then go on.
The first thing is what he's done. He's made Spurs a regular Champions League team. They weren't that before he went there. They're not. They weren't. They were nowhere near that. They're a regular Champions League team. Not just that, but bombed a semi-final in the Champions League last season. You know, that's a massive journey that is, like, you know. Or not even the semi-final. So, like, they haven't had massive transfer keys. They haven't been signing massive stars. They've lost players. They're still not one of the biggest clubs in England. I still see Arsenal as a bigger club than them. So they still have that umbrella on over them that this is a club massively overachieving. They're still overachieving. They haven't had a great start to seasons by previous standards, but they're still overachieving for the Spurs I grew up watching. Or did I grew up seeing. You know, he's a top manager. He's not high maintenance. He goes about his things. He changes clubs. He uproots clubs. He did that at Southampton. He did it at Spurs quickly. And players love playing for him. Now, I don't know what's happened this season. I don't know what's happened. They spent a lot of money in that Tankai Dembele. Still haven't improved by any means. And it just seems like he's overstayed his welcome at the club. But they'd be daft to sack him for all he's done. Well, all he's done for that club, he hasn't turned a bad manager overnight. And if it is a matter of players turning on, the club should give him the benefit of the doubt and back him and say, right, we'll get rid of those players. We've stuck by you for so long. You've delivered this. You know, right, they haven't won a trophy, but another question is it an expectation that Spurs to win trophies? Since when has that been an expectation? You know, he's made them a champion.
Right, Dale. I think you're great. I love you. You know that. You're one of my favourite Man United fans. Sophie knows exactly what's coming. How old are you, Dale?
24 since this week.
Oh, bless you. Happy birthday, darling. I'm over double your age, which means I've watched a billion more matches. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. When did it become successful to get in the top four and not win trophies? I'm just asking your age to see if it's a young thing, because I knew you were a lot younger than me.
Both United and Arsenal are in the same boat now.
Hold on a second. You have won far more trophies than Arsenal ever have. Okay, you're up there with the Liverpools, yeah? If I spoke to my older Man United friends, trophies are what you're here for. So when you say it's an expectation, yes, it is. I want my club to win every single trophy possible. Are we going to win the league this year? No. Are we going to win the FA Cup? Possibility. We got a chance in the other three. Yeah. I will be very disappointed if we don't win a cup this year. That doesn't mean that I'd go out and buy Pochettino because he's done well for Tottenham. He got Tottenham into the Champions League final. They didn't win it. We've been in the Champions League final. We didn't win it. You've been in Champions League finals and you have won it. I'm just wondering that your expectations as United fans has come right down. If you think that a trophy is not as important as hitting top four, I'm quite surprised, Al. I mean, look, we've all growing up, for me, it was always Liverpool in the 80s, a little bit of us at the end, then it was all you in the 90s. Yeah. And then obviously over the years, then it was us with the Invincibles and everything. And then obviously Chelsea took over and then obviously City have come in and it's changed the landscape, not for the better, I might add. In my head, you've always been one of the biggest clubs, not only in England, but in the world. And you're now talking about bringing in a manager that hasn't won anything. I'm surprised. I understand why you took Solskjaer.
You've already got anyone that hasn't won anything, like Solskjaer. David Moyes. You know, David Moyes didn't work out.
Yeah, hold on. Now, we talk about
Moyes was a Fergie choice.
Yeah, he was.
And Solskjaer was the band-aid.
And also...
Fergie choice too, to be honest.
Yeah, the problem is, I feel for you, you're going to be in transition for a very long time. Because as much as I hated Alex Ferguson, he was one of the best. And I had massive respect for him. What a manager he was. You and it's hard for you because wherever you go now is a come down, isn't it? Solskjaer, you know, I felt, as Sophie said, was a band-aid. And also I feel that because he had that run and everyone was going, Solskjaer should be manager. A lot of people out of United were saying he won't do very well. But I think it was just your momentum. You were sick of Moyes. Whatever. Anyway, so I'm just saying that I have this thing with Pochettino. I don't get the loving. I really don't. Sorry. But that's not because I'm anti-Tottenham. I would say that if it was a West Ham or Chelsea.
I have no shame in saying I have a bit of a man crush going on with Pochettino. Okay. I think
he's a nice... I wanted to really hate him when Tottenham came here. Was it last season or the season before? Last summer. I really wanted to loathe the man. And he was so nice and so polite. I just decided to loathe him anyway. But
I don't loathe him, Soph. I mean, I just don't think
he's... No, you know what I'm saying. He's just banter.
Oh, you loathe him.
I'd take him in a heartbeat.
No, I bloody wouldn't. Shut up. It's like San Marino. Oh, my life. No. But anyway, we do need to end. And it's been absolutely fantastic. I love having you on, Dale. It's just brilliant because you are like our Man United, what can we call him? Assistant.
It's kind of like...
He has to come on every time we play Man United.
Yeah, but also he's a very reasonable, logical and sees things as they are Man United person. And I think that's what we really love about him.
There's not many of those around, is there? Saying that, there's not many of those for any other clubs like us
What were you going to say, Dale?
let's not do a Pochettino. I'm completely biased then.
I could have a little bit of bias there. But I want to say thank you. And the fact that you can, if you are United and you are listening to Dale and you've never heard of him, which will be a shock, he runs Stretty News, which has got about 6 million followers on Facebook and about 50,000 odd on Twitter. So go and follow him. And even Arsenal fans, I think you should, because I think it's always great to have... I was going to say foreign fans. I mean, rival fans.
Perspective to follow. Rival fans.
Yeah, perspective.
I love it.
It's really interesting because you are great, Dale, and you don't wind me up one bit, which is brilliant because my United friends do regularly.
Every day, I read blogs belong to different clubs, like the one the Arse blog. I love Arse blog. Absolutely.
Yeah. We love Arse blog. He's a friend of the show. We love Andrew.
Good friend.
Fantastic. Yeah. Have to appreciate other fans that are appreciated.
You do, because the thing is that we're all there, aren't we? We all want to watch our team win and be successful. We're no different. We're all the same. We just follow different colours. That's it. Just different colours, different areas, different clubs, and that's it. But we all are there for the same reason, which is wonderful. And if you're not into football, I do feel sorry for them. At times, I wish I wasn't into football. And I'm hoping Monday night I'm into football. But thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for being nice.
Ah, we're always nice. We are nice. Tell all your friends we're very nice people. It's just when we watch football and Xhaka does what Xhaka does occasionally. Anyway, I'm not moving on to that. So, lovely to speak to you, darling. We're done.
We're going to go to Old Trafford
and you're going to go with my prediction. We're going to win, okay?
Totally, going with your prediction. Okay. Absolutely. My heart says one thing, my head says another. So let's leave it to the gods.
My head say the same thing. Come on, Arsenal.
As long as VAR doesn't make the bloody decision,
we have got time to go into VAR. That's going to be the next one because we really want the referee to come on to start discussing VAR with us. So, everyone that listens to us, thanks so much. You know, we really enjoy doing this, and hopefully, Kev will be back with us next time. Thank you again to Dale. See you, Soph. Always Arsenal.